Hi, this is Paul Jones, pastor of Victory World Outreach. Thank you for visiting our podcast. I hope this ministry from our preaching team brings encouragement and inspiration to your life.
Piles of dead leaves that I haven't cleaned up since autumn. I'm seeing little sprouts of new weeds popping up, dead branches falling over. There's a tree that's starting to push into the house that I'm going to have to cut down. And this is supposed to be my happy time, and now I'm getting discouraged. I'm flashing back to all the times last year that I went out with my son and we're picking weeds and mowing the lawn and all this. And I'm thinking, man, all that work and I got to start all over. And, you know, so I have two choices. I was thinking about it today. I can not do anything and just let it kind of do its thing, which I have done in the past, I will admit. And it's terrible. Or I can respond to that and I can start cleaning that yard up. I can start picking all the weeds and making it into that yard that I'm dreaming about having. It's all in the response. Amen? And so tonight, go ahead and turn with me over to Luke chapter 8. I want to preach out of Luke chapter 8. And this got me thinking about this parable in Luke chapter 8. And so I want to preach a message tonight entitled, How Will You Respond? How will you respond? I've been asking that to myself every time I go outside. Man, how will you respond? Here we go again. I want to read this. Some of you might know this passage, but amen. I want to look because this is the passage, the parable of the seed. And those of you that might know this, I want to ask you tonight to just think about your life as I'm preaching this, because I believe some of us here may not be in the place that we think we are. Just like I thought I was going to go sit in my paradise backyard, amen? We may not be where exactly we think we are. So I'm going to read Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4. And it says, "And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" So skipping down to verse 11, it says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Now I want to take a minute and just kind of take a look at this parable and help us to understand, because I think it's going to set up the point that I want to make tonight. You know, first of all, it talks about the seed on the people that they fall by the wayside, and the devil immediately kind of snatches that seed. And I really think that that's people that just are not in the place to receive the gospel. You know, they don't realize that they have a need. Some people, you might even be here tonight, you don't understand that you have a need for Jesus. You may not even realize yet that Jesus Christ died for you, bought you with a price, wants to save you and set you free. And if we don't recognize that need, then the devil's just going to snatch the word. Amen? But I really want to focus on the next two, because I believe some of us might be there tonight, and God wants to deal with us in that. It says in verse 13, "The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy." That jumped out to me when I was reading, as I was studying for this message. It says they did receive the word with joy. So they received Jesus. They heard the testimony. They heard that God died for their sins, and they received it. They were excited about what God had done. But it says that they have no root, So they believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. So these are people that receive the gospel with joy, but then as soon as there's a hard time, or as soon as there's an opposition, how many know when you get a victory in your life, the devil wants to oppose that? Amen. We've had a great small group session that just ended, and I'm telling you, we're hearing all kinds of testimonies about things that victories that people are experiencing in their lives. And you know, the first thing that happens is the devil wants to oppose that. Amen. As soon as that victory comes, the devil wants to come and bring a hard time. And so as soon as that challenge comes, they fall. Amen. They fall away. They don't stick by it. They don't continue on. They just kind of fall. And so this shows that we can receive the gospel with joy. This is a warning to us tonight. It is possible to receive Jesus, to be excited about what God wants to do, but if we don't root ourselves in Christ, how many know we won't make it? Amen. If we don't have those roots, we won't be strong. We'll get into that a little more later. And then it talks about those that, in verse 14, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out, and they're choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. That's a scary description. Amen. That's a scary description of how you and I could be tonight if we're not careful. One thing that I noticed about that is it doesn't say what it said in the previous one. It doesn't say that they fell away. It never says that the thorns come up and it chokes them out and they fall away. What it says is the thorns come and by the pleasures of life and the distractions of this world, the gospel is choked out. Amen. So that means there are people that maybe they come to church, they might serve in ministry, they might really be excited about the vision of what God is doing, but it basically just means that the things of this world choke out their passion for the gospel. Amen. It becomes a distraction. It's like Satan saying, I may not be able to keep them from going to church or serving, but I'm going to distract them to the point where they're not going to produce anything. Amen. And there are some people, that's how they live. It might be an addiction. It might be a pet sin, or it might be something that seems harmless, but it distracts us to the point, or, you know, we're dealing with it so much that it distracts us from being productive for God. Amen. And so what it really comes down to, I believe, in this parable is the response of our heart to the gospel. Amen. What happened with all these different people is they had different responses when they received the gospel. Amen. And so when we realize our need for God, when we understand that the gospel is meant for you and I personally, how will you respond? And that's the challenge, I believe, tonight. There's one more response. It talks about in verse 15, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. That's how we want to be tonight. Amen. Just look at it. It talks about three things. First of all, it says that they heard the word with a good heart. That means, you know what I think of when I read that is I think of people that come to church. And it doesn't matter if you've been saved a long time, maybe you're new to the gospel, but I believe those are people that come to church and say, I don't care how deep I think my roots are, I need Jesus tonight. Amen. I think this is a perfect service for that. We've already had the Holy Spirit working in us. Amen. It feels good in here because I believe we're here tonight with a good heart. We want to see what God has. Amen. It says they heard with a good heart. They kept it and they bared fruit with patience. They kept it. Amen. If you read it in the New American Standard, it changes the word patience to perseverance. Amen. So they kept the word with perseverance. Just think about that. Amen. It means that they didn't quit. Amen. They didn't give up. They kept fighting even when those storms and even when those temptations came. It doesn't mean that thorns don't come up. Amen. Or the devil doesn't oppose. But what it means is we keep going. We persevere. Amen. That's what we're here to do tonight. Amen. I want to read you another scripture. If you'll turn over with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And I really think this scripture illustrates that fourth type of person, the type of person that Jesus is calling on you and I to be tonight. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. It says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Amen. Look at the words that this scripture has: rooted, built up, established. Amen. That is, to me, is the sign of a good, solid foundation. Amen. You know, when they plant a tree, I'm thinking of a tree specifically, they don't just dig a hole, plop the tree down in there, pat the dirt on it, and say, okay, it's good to go. Have you guys ever seen when they plant a tree? I've learned the hard way that's not the only thing they do. When I was pastoring in Longmont with my wife, I got a job delivering milk at night. And to answer the question, some of you are thinking of, yes, that does still exist. Amen. People are always like, what? That's a thing? It is a thing. And I delivered milk at night. And you know what happens is you get the same route every night. It's kind of like delivering mail. And you start to learn these houses. You learn, even in the dark, you know, after you do it for a while, you know where the rock is. You know where the garden gnome is. You know where the ice forms. Sometimes you know because you got some bruises. And so I got to know my route. You know, I got faster. I'm delivering milk quick. And they put on your route sheet, they put a little note sometimes just to warn you, like, hey, ice tends to form by garage or something like that. And so I'm doing my route. And this one night I see a new note on this house. And it says, "Watch out for new tree." Watch out for new tree. Noted, no problem. I can see a tree. I kind of thought that was dumb, but I was like, all right, sure. So I get to this house, I peek out the window, there's the tree, we're good to go. I get my milk, put it in the crate, and I start running, and all of a sudden, clothesline. And I'm on the ground, broken bottles, milk all over the yard. I did not hit the tree, okay? They did a great job saying, watch out for tree. What they forgot to say was, watch out for the two green poles with the wire across. You guys know what I'm talking about. Amen. So I got clotheslined by a wire. After that, I walked at that house. I didn't run. Amen. And you know what happens when they plant that tree? That tree, it takes time before it can root and be strong enough. So they put those poles and that wire there so that when the storms come, that tree is still firm. And I probably still have a bruise on my neck to prove it. Amen. That hurt. But how many know that tree needs that support? And you know what? When we are saved and we respond to the gospel, we still need that support. Amen. It doesn't end just when we receive the gospel. And that's what I want to look at really tonight. That scripture that we just read, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it stood out to me. It says, "As you therefore have received Christ, so walk in him." As you received him, so walk in him. Amen. So basically, the way that we receive Jesus, we need to continue to walk in him. The same faith that it took to get saved, we need to continue to put that faith in God. Amen. So what happened to the people that it says they fell on stony ground? The people that fell on thorny ground, they trusted God for their salvation, but then that trust for God did not go any further. Amen. Their response to the gospel ended with that initial moment. It was just, Pastor Paul illustrated it perfectly. That's how I know it's a good message, amen? It was just like that devotion said. It was like an emotional response. It says they received received it gladly, amen? There was excitement there, but the response to that excitement ended at that moment. And so tonight, I believe that God wants us to understand that our response to the gospel needs to be constant. It's not something that ends just at an altar. Praise God when God draws us to the altar and we receive Jesus into our hearts, but that's just the beginning. Amen. There needs to be a consistent response. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross once,'" not once, amen, "'take up his cross daily and follow me.'" It's a daily thing. Deny yourself daily. Take up your cross daily. Amen. And so I believe that the difference between all these different people is that their response ended at that moment. There wasn't a continued response. Just think for a moment. Remember when you first received Jesus, or even the last time, because sometimes, hey, we need to receive Jesus every week, amen? Remember the last time that Jesus really, really did something for you. You know, you were desperate. You were hurting. You were lost. And you came down to an altar, or maybe somebody prayed with you or witnessed to you. And it was just like God just inserted joy into your life. All of a sudden, you had hope. All of a sudden, you got a fresh start. Amen. Did anyone else get a fresh start? Praise God. And we needed it. Amen. But what happened to these people that we're talking about tonight is they got that fresh start. They got that hope. They got that new beginning, but all of a sudden, they didn't root themselves in Christ. Amen. It says that they walked out, and as soon as a wind blew, they were gone. Or as soon as the pleasures of that life started tempting them, that became what they rooted themselves in. And maybe this will speak to somebody tonight. What happens when we don't, how many know when you, roots have to go somewhere? Has anybody ever seen a tree when it grows next to a chain link fence and you see the root come up and start wrapping around the fence? That's the craziest thing to me. I always think, how did that happen? But those roots have to go somewhere. And so when a person doesn't root themselves in Christ, when they don't have Christ as that, those poles, those support beams, instead they start becoming attached to the very things that Jesus set them free from. Amen. And it starts a cycle. And there might be somebody here tonight, you're in that cycle. It's like you come and you get saved. You have a good church service. God, it's like he turns a light on and you're like, man, I need to get my life right. And you start to turn things over and it's a good day. And then you leave church and, you know, things happen, life happens, and you start to fall back. Maybe you fall back into old habits. Those thorns, those pleasures of life start to become more important than what Jesus did. And maybe it takes a few days, maybe it's a few weeks, but maybe I've had moments where I kind of wake up and think, whoa, I haven't even really thought about God today. I haven't really thought about God for a few days. Maybe it's been a few weeks. Amen. And then you think, man, I need to get my life right. And so you come back and you give your life to God again. And how many know God is so faithful? Amen. He cleans you up again. He picks those thorns. It's just like my yard. As soon as you pick a weed, five more sprout. Amen. It's a constant battle. And that's what happens in our lives. And so what happens is it becomes a cycle. Some of you are living in that cycle right now. Amen. I'm not beating up on you. I'm here to preach hope tonight. But we get in that cycle. And remember, that scripture says that we get distracted to the point where we don't produce. Amen. You can live, you can be so faithful to a church and live in that cycle and not produce. Amen. Now, I think it's really interesting if we look at who is Jesus talking to when he's telling this parable. At first, it says that he's talking to a group of people, but then if you read in there, it says that the disciples start questioning. They start asking Jesus, what does this mean? And so I think he ends up telling his disciples. Now, I start thinking about that, and I think these are the men that dropped everything, left their jobs, left their families. They're following Jesus, literally, physically following him. If there's anybody that seems to be like perfectly rooted, it would be those disciples. But so I start thinking, why is it that Jesus decided to teach them this? But then you look, and you can keep your finger in Colossians, but if you look in Luke, where we just were, the very next thing that happens after this parable is, I'll just quickly paraphrase, him and he grabs his disciples and they get into a boat. And the Bible says that Jesus goes down into the bottom of that boat and he falls asleep. And then all of a sudden a storm starts coming against this boat. The winds are blowing, the boat's rocking back and forth. Amen, they're starting to freak out. The disciples start to panic, and so they run down to Jesus and they find him sleeping and they tell him, wake up, do you not even care that we're dying? Here's the disciples who have been with Jesus, seeing miracles. Amen. And now they're panicking. Amen. They're back to that cycle that we're talking about. They all of a sudden, they're thinking they're going to die. And so Jesus gets up, and he calms the storm. It's a miracle. Amen. If you read it, it's amazing to just picture all of a sudden the storm is calm. I kind of picture like the sun's coming out and everything's okay. And he turns and he says four words to those disciples that I believe somebody here, including myself, needs to hear tonight. Amen. Because some of you here tonight, it's kind of like what I was saying earlier. We're coming out of winter. Amen. You're in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm right now. And so there has to be a response where now it's time to put our trust back in Jesus. Amen. But sometimes we lose that trust. These disciples lost trust. And so Jesus turns to them and says very simply, where is your faith? Where is your faith? I don't think he necessarily meant it mean or anything like that. I think it was a question to kind of wake them up. Where is your faith? Amen. I'm going to read again Colossians, where we just read 2 verse 6. As you received Christ, so walk in him. We have the faith to ask Jesus to save us. We have the faith to come down to an altar or to receive Jesus into our hearts. So why not continue to put our faith in him? Amen. Why not keep believing? Why not offer him that hard decision that you have right now, or that hard time? Amen. How many know he promises he'll be there? God is so good. Amen. He promises he'll be there. Just for sake of time, I'm going to read this scripture, but it's in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. It says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. That's a perfect description of some of us here tonight. Not pointing at anybody in particular. Some of you here, you deal with so much anxiety. It's that cycle of back and forth. Amen. Some of you here, you're weighed down tonight. Your heart is so low. You came in, praise God, you're here. So you made it. Hallelujah. But sometimes we come in and we're just weighed down by trials. Maybe your marriage is going through a hard time. Maybe you're dealing with a financial issue right now. Maybe you're going through a medical thing, or sometimes we're just low because the devil's mean. Amen. And it says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. Amen. Tonight, I believe God is here to make you glad again. Amen. A good word makes it glad. So our problems might still be there. Amen. God makes us glad. It doesn't mean that all the problems suddenly go away. But what changes is that we respond differently. Amen. Our response to those problems are different. We don't just fall on stony ground anymore. Amen. Those thorns that come up, it doesn't mean the devil's not going to bring those things. It just means we're not going to let those things choke us out anymore. Amen. We're going to mow the lawn. We're going to start pruning the thorns. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. Hallelujah. If you're feeling low tonight, you're feeling negative, you're feeling weighed down, you need a good word. Amen. Here's the good word right here. The Bible, amen, the Word of God. Sometimes the problem is we're not, like Pastor Paul said, we're not reading, we're not praying, we're not digging, and that's how we root ourselves in God's Word. Amen. Get a good devotional, like he said. Get into your Bible. It also might be that we're listening to the wrong words. Amen. Sometimes there's wrong words. Look with me right there in Colossians chapter 2, the next verse, verse 8. It says, beware. So that's a warning. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Amen. That scripture is exciting. You ought to underline that. Praise God. Verse 8 says to me that if we follow the principles of the world or the traditions of the world, we can't also follow Christ. Amen. Some of you, we need to go to God's word for the answer. We don't care about what the world says. Amen. You want to know what the world says? Turn on the TV. Look on your computer. Go on YouTube for a few minutes and you'll understand the principles and the value that this world has. And most of the time it's sickening. Amen. There aren't many principles or values left. This world is going down. Amen. What happened? How many heard about what's happened to all the schools in Denver? Amen. They had to shut down most of the schools in Denver because a lady was threatening to do a shooting. Amen. This is a scary world we're living in. If we're going to the world for a word of encouragement, go somewhere else. Amen. And to think in Luke chapter 8, that's what it's talking about. That's the kind of thing that chokes our salvation. Those are the kind of things that if you're not rooting yourself in God, if you're not kind of forcing yourself to stay in the will of God, those are the kinds of things we're going to go to. Amen? So we cannot have our focus on these things and expect to still be godly. We need to get our focus right. Where are you rooting yourself? Amen? This is God talking to me too. Where are we spending our time? If you're going through a hard time, we ought to be spending more time in God. Amen? He's the one that's going to get us out. I want to bring this to a close with this. What's the key? What's the answer? So how, you know, I'm talking about responding differently. We've read about what responding our way does. So how can we respond where we won't fall at the first sign of opposition? Okay? How will we respond where we're not choked out by the pleasures of this world? How are we going to respond where we're going to be in this for the long haul? Amen. How many want to be in this for the long haul? Praise God. You may not even think it's possible. Looking at your life, you may think, I don't know how in the world, but I want to be here. Amen. I want to still be here for the long haul. So we're going to look again at Colossians chapter 2, and I close in verse 9. I want to break this scripture down. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, when I first read that, it was like Pastor Paul said, I had to read it a few times, and I started kind of looking deeper into it. In him, that's Jesus Christ, dwells the fullness of the Godhead. What is the Godhead? If you went through Next Step, amen, Next Step graduates, make some noise. All right, come on, there's more than that. It's okay. If you graduated Next Step, we talk about it. That's God the Father, amen, the creator of the universe, the one who created you personally in his own image. God the Son, that's Jesus Christ, who came down and sacrificed his life willingly to buy you, to give you an opportunity to be saved. Amen. And then there's the Holy Spirit. That's God's Spirit that he gives to us to help us to live beyond that initial decision. So all of those things, it says, for in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead. Jesus, when he was on this earth, when he was talking, saying this parable, he was all of those things. And in verse 10, it says, you are complete in him. Amen. What's the key to making it beyond just a storm? It's Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're dealing with any of these things, there's nothing we can do. Amen. It's turning our lives back to Jesus and understanding that our fullness is in him. Amen. Jesus Christ is the way that we're going to get through it. Praise God. He's the key. And so when we put our trust daily in him, he makes us complete. Amen? He makes us complete. That's wonderful. Praise God. And it says, he is the head of all principality and power. Amen? That means the devil cannot continue to fight you when you have put your trust and rooted yourself in Jesus. Amen? He is the hope tonight. Praise God for that. Amen? I'm going to ask everybody to bow your head and close your eyes tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus is the key. Tonight, I want to take a few moments. We've got plenty of time. It's still early. We want to take some time, and I believe that many of us, maybe all of us here, have something that we need to work out with Jesus tonight. That's why we're here. Amen. It says that they kept the gospel. When you're keeping up a yard or you're keeping something up, it takes time. Amen. It's something that happens over the long haul. And so tonight we're going to do that. Amen. But first of all, we need to understand our need for Jesus. It says that that seed that fell and the devil snatched away that seed, I believe it's they didn't even understand that they had a need. And tonight, do you understand how much you need Jesus? Amen. Do you understand that you're lost without Jesus? The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means every single one of us have a need for Jesus. If we don't see that need, if we don't understand that we're lost, we're not even going to make it. Amen? And so the question is, when you do understand that, and I pray that everybody here tonight understands that, what is your response? How will you respond? Are we just going to come to Christ just to be choked out by the cares of this life, or are we ready to root ourselves in Christ? Amen. There might be some here tonight you'd say, you know what, I've heard this message and I just simply know that I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to make him Lord of my life. I need to take my trust out of myself or what I think, and I need to give him full access. I need to trust him as the Lord of my life. If that's you tonight, you would acknowledge that. Amen. I just ask that you would lift your hand. We want to pray for you. How many? Amen. I see all these hands going up. How many more would join these? Amen. Lots of hands. Praise God. You just say, hey, I just simply need Jesus. Amen. You are made complete in him. How many tonight you want that completeness? Hallelujah. I see those hands. You can put your hands down. And then I want to make one more call. Maybe something that I spoke of tonight, you recognize something in your life. I'm not saying that you're you're a terrible person and there's no hope for you, but sometimes when you read a scripture, something, God points to something in your life. It might be just one area, but it's something that we need to deal with tonight. And you'd say to yourself, you know what? There's some things in my life that have become more important to me than God. It's choking out the life of God in me. Or maybe it's I'm going through a storm and I just need to make God that support again. Amen. I need to get back to where God is Lord of my life. If that's you this evening, just quickly join these. Put your hands up. You're just saying, I need Jesus tonight. I need to make him Lord again. Get back to where I need to be. Amen. Lots of hands. Praise God. Amen. Let's all stand in this place. I want to invite, if you raised your hands for any of these calls, or if you just want to take some time and just do some work in your life, let God do some work on you. Amen. These altars are open. Just come forward. If you raised your hand especially, come forward.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages, subscribe and go to our podcast channel for more episodes. If you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from Victory World Outreach and to learn more about us or to support this ministry, go to vwonow.com.